Welcome to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we will be discussing an article that Dr. Jerry Valesky wrote for the August issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Mixed Seeding of Winter and Non-Winter Hardy Annual Forages. Thanks for joining me today, Jerry.
Hi, you're welcome.
You've recently done some research that I've really been interested in watching where you've planted a mix of non-winter hardy and winter hardy annuals together and then looked at the production from those. Share with our listeners a little more about the research you've done and some of the different species that you've examined.
Sure. Well, the whole objective is this, is we are thinking about fall and spring forage from these annuals, is that when we do get to, well, even late July to August to early September, many producers oftentimes plant things like oats, spring triticale, turnips could be in there as well. And when they're planted at that time, say in the general August window, they can produce quite a bit of forage by the time we get to full freeze down of those in early November. And so the idea that we were working with was mixing things like oats and rye or oats and triticale. So that's a non-winter hardy, the oats, of course, with something that is winter hardy, like rye or a winter triticale. And by doing that, we know as we get into the heart of the late fall, early winter, the oats will freeze out, won't make it through the winter. But of course, the rye or the winter triticale that we planted will be there for next spring. Really, what we're doing is with one planting operation, preparing for both for some fall as well as spring foraging. Now, in our trials, we did several combinations. The primary ones were things like the rye and oats, as I mentioned, winter triticale with a spring triticale. We also had plots of rye and turnip, and then also winter triticale and turnip. Now, in addition, we also wanted to see what monocultures of these individual species would do as well. So we planted those. And so what we found is that the mixed planting, and I should also mention that when we do a mixed planting of a winter hardy and a non-winter hardy, we use the half seeding rate of each. So for example, if a normal seeding rate for rye alone is 2 bushels per acre and a normal seeding rate for oats is 3 bushels per acre, we went with 1 bushel of rye and 1.5 bushels of oats. So we just cut those monoculture seeding rates in half. Now, what we saw was that, of course, with the non-winter hardy annuals like the oats, spring triticale, they did have pretty decent fall production. We were looking at anywhere from 1.6 to 1.7 tons per acre in the fall alone. And then the following spring, for example, with the rye and oats mixture, that rye produced an additional 2.3 tons in its spring growth. So it does work out well. You don't get, you know, something for nothing, though, because certainly there would always be the option of planting oats again in the spring. But where you realize the advantage is you've already got that rye out there, and it's very early in terms of its availability for spring grazing. So that does work out well for a lot of producers.
Jerry, the research was done there at North Platte. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, we did this at North Platte, and we did provide some irrigation in one of the 2 years that we did it. Last fall, we were quite wet, and so did not have to do any supplemental irrigation.
So this is a second year of a trial period. You had a year prior to this. How did the research results from 2 years ago compare with the most recent year?
Well, they were both fairly similar. One of the things we noticed this year, with that cold April we had, some of the winter annuals, the winter hardy things like the rye and winter triticale, their production was a little bit down compared to most years. And I really just attribute it to that very cold April that we did have.
Were the results from the 2 years fairly similar in terms of looking at the mixes and monocultures, or were there some significant differences between years?
The results between both of the years were fairly similar. Some of the other things I did notice in terms of some of the mixtures or species that we were using, the turnip, when we combine those with rye or winter triticale, the fall production of the turnips was less than we would see from something like oats or a spring triticale in the fall.
What was the time frame in which the plots were harvested? When was the forage measured in the fall, and then when was it measured in the following spring?
We sampled for the yield in late October of each year, and then also For our spring harvest and the termination of yield on the winter hardy annuals, we would do that in late May to early June. We typically harvest our cereal grains at a milk to soft dough stage of maturity.
You mentioned that this is ground that can be irrigated. What's the fertility there in terms of soil available nutrients to these growing crops?
In a system like this, or at least in our trial, we applied 40 pounds per acre of nitrogen just after planting, and then also 40 pounds of N in early spring as the winter hardy annuals were beginning to grow.
As you think about quality feed, what's some of these produce in terms of feed as we go into the fall? Is it something that's pretty good, or what should producers expect there?
Yes, it is. You know, if we look at an August planted oats, for example, oftentimes by the time, at least here in North Platte, when you get to late October, you will start to see some seed heads emerge. But even through the whole September and October period, and even after freeze down, and to some extent, the quality of the forage remains quite high. And one of the things that's been noticed in another trial, when there were some early hard freezes in early November, which totally froze out these non-winter hardy species, they turned brown and everything, but yet the quality of those forages was still quite high, and the cattle grazed it very well.
We did a similar trial looking at some oats out at Sydney several years ago, and what was interesting to me, we left some of that standing and then measured quality the following March. Even some of that oat the following March that was left standing through the winter still measured in the low teens from a protein standpoint, which was really surprising. So some of these can winter pretty well and can provide a stockpiled feed resource.
Right, exactly. I think with those forages, when they do die because of the hard freeze, they're basically cured to, you know, whatever stage of growth and quality that they were in at the time of the freeze.
Anything else to add, Jerry, as we point towards wrapping up?
Well, no, I just think that this is some fairly useful information, and it does work, and there may be some producers that would at least want to give it a try and see how well it works out for them.
Yeah, one thing I might add is we think about wheat harvest kind of wrapping up now in Nebraska and several places where we've had good moisture, or we have situations where people have wheat that was under pivot. Early August timeframe is really a nice time to be able to capture some additional forage there and take advantage of that window where we can grow some feed.
That's right. Yes, it is.
All right. Thanks again for joining me today, Jerry.
All right. Thank you.
For more information on the article that was discussed in today's BeefWatch podcast, please visit the beef.unl.edu website. Again, this is in the August issue of the BeefWatch newsletter. I also want to mention that at the website, Dr. Jerry Valesky has recorded several videos and has some resources there on planting and utilizing annual forages as part of a beef production system.